And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
All right, let's roll it out here on a Tuesday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. One Bills Live, the show you are listening to. And it is cap management season. All you accountants, this is like Christmas for you as you watch NFL teams madly scramble to get under the cap and create enough room for them to conduct business either with their own free agents or out on the open market. And the Dallas Cowboys are first out of the chute here as they have renegotiated the contracts of both Dak Prescott and their all-pro guard, Zach Martin. And what they've done is they've cleared $22 million in cap space. It is still a possibility that they tag their tight end, Dalton Schultz, which if they do would be a $10.9 million hit and would make him the fifth player to get the franchise tag. The Cowboys have until 4 p.m. Eastern time to do so, Steve. Players tagged already. We mentioned David Njoku yesterday, the Browns tight end. Bengals safety Jesse Bates. Dolphins wide receiver Mike Gesicki tagged today. And Chiefs offensive tackle Orlando Brown. Chiefs do intend to get a long-term deal done with Brown. Don't yet know about the situations in the other cities where they have tagged players. But that's what you're looking at there. So it'll be interesting to see if there are one or two more names. People already have their ear to the ground on the Dalton Schultz situation in Dallas. So
I think this is a more normal year because we haven't seen franchise tags a lot in the last couple. Now that the cap's starting to go up really strong after the COVID thing, Teams are starting to go, you know what, we can do that this year. And they're starting, and I think you'll see more and more guys get franchised as the cap grows. I think they expect it to really jump the next couple of years because of the reset after COVID. But now teams, you can see they've got a little spot where they say, you know what, the tight end's 10.8? Yeah, okay. You know?
Right. And the cap, as we heard Brandon Bean tell us on the show last week when we were at the NFL Combine, it still hasn't caught up to where it was pre-pandemic. It's only 208 and change this year, and it was supposed to be in the 220s. Those are the projections. So even though it increased instead of decreased, where they were last year at 182,
right,
and it increased, it's still not where a lot of these teams projected the cap to be going forward. And a lot of their budgeting now has to be reworked even 2 years after the pandemic first hit because the cap still isn't back where it's supposed to be. Next year, it's anticipated the cap will be somewhere around 230. And you have to believe.
That's a big jump.
Well, not from where it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be 220, so it goes up its average $10 million to 230, and there you are. But now, from 208 to 230, it seems like a big jump. But in reality, if we didn't have the pandemic, it's probably a pretty normal size jump. It's usually 10 to 12 million a year.
Right. But what I'm saying is 208 to 230 is a big jump.
Yeah. And so you have to believe that a lot of NFL clubs will be factoring that in to whatever contract extensions or new contracts they extend to players, where there may be a hefty amount of balloon payments in 2023, knowing the cap is still restrictive here in 2022. And that will be the focus of our show today. But before we get to that, there is also some other news. Aaron Rodgers has signed he's agreed in principle to a 4-year, $200 million contract. $153 million of that is said to be guaranteed. He becomes the highest paid player in NFL history, which I guess you deserve if you're back-to-back MVP in each of the last 2 years. His previous cap number for 2022 was $46.1 million. That has reportedly been dropped. To what degree, we do not yet know. Contract particulars year by year have not yet been made public or released by any of the national NFL news reporters. So we'll wait on that. So Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay. Moving him to an NFC team was a non-starter for the Packers, so that was not an option. There were said to be a few AFC clubs interested, those being Tennessee, Denver, and I think there was one other that's slipping my mind right now. But, yeah. So Jordan Love's going to keep the bench warm for the next year or so.
Unless they trade him.
Unless they trade him, which is a possibility. Kid's not going to play on his rookie deal. He's got a four-year rookie deal with a fifth-year option. He's got 2 years left on that.
The quarterback
plus
market,
the fifth year.
And the quarterback market is suppressed this year. No draft prospects coming out that anybody expects to start out on day one. No. You've got Mitch Trubisky as the best option in the free agent market. There are still clubs out there, and you've heard it. You read down the articles on this stuff and the opinions on this. There's a lot of people who think Jordan Love's the best quarterback prospect. If he was coming out this year, he'd be better than any of the guys they're out this year. So there he is. What are you going to get him for? If you can trade for the Packers, trade with the Packers and get him for a 3 or a 2, anything less than a 1, you're ahead of the game because you got a pretty good guy with some experience,
yeah.
But, learning what it is to be a pro and all of that. You still, though, I don't know if he can play.
One start last year at Kansas City, it was ugly. Not exactly an easy game to get dropped into for your first NFL start, but they scored 9 points. So
if I'm a GM, I'm thinking I'd sit and wait for a minute. You got teams out there like the Denver Broncos who have been looking for a quarterback forever. And they've got a new head coach who coached Jordan Love for the last couple of years.
Right.
I'd find out what do the Broncos think of that guy? Is Nathaniel Hackett standing at the door of Lambeau Field, pounding on the door, going, "Hey, talk to me about Jordan Love. You guys don't need him. I do. Let's go. I want him." If he's not doing that after watching him for a couple of years in house,
woof.
Yeah, you know what? I'll draft one of those guys, or I'll get Mitch Trubisky or somebody else. Yeah. If Nate Hackett doesn't want him, neither do I.
Yeah, walking in the door, the advantage would be he knows the system already, so that would be a help. Certainly plenty of weapons to utilize in the scope of that offense in Denver, but what's it going to take? Some people in the know are saying it should take a second-round draft choice to acquire Jordan Love, so we'll have to see what it comes down to and if he's even on the move, but I have to believe if you're Jordan Love, you're probably saying, what's the point of me being here? I'm not playing for 4 more years. Means I'm not going to get on the field until my 7th season. He should ask for a trade, quite frankly. With all the teams that need quarterbacks, he should probably ask for one
And
get moved.
Yeah,
I totally
agree.
With a 4-year extension for Rodgers, the Packers could conceivably draft another quarterback next year and have that kid in the pipeline for 2 years, 2 more years before they even have to think about putting him on the field.
Jordan Love needs somebody in his life to give him the straight dope. Like, bro, you are not going to be a starter in this league.
If you stay here.
Even if you get traded right now to the Houston Texans without Deshaun Watson, you ain't starting ahead of Davis Mills. So you need to sit right here behind Aaron, make your rookie contract as a first rounder, take that money, and just be thankful because you can't play.
Oh, so now you're saying he can't play?
I don't know.
Oh.
But if he can't, somebody needs to know. And that's what I'm saying. Somebody's got to know.
But how's he going to get better? If he can't play, how do you get better?
Do you don't think the Aaron Rodgers contract says something about Jordan Love as much as it says about Aaron Rodgers?
Well,
I get it.
Does.
Aaron Rodgers bet on himself, back-to-back MVPs, never seen anything like it. Now he's getting a new contract. I get it. But if Jordan Love was Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers would have been traded 10 months ago.
Right. I don't think he ever was thought of as Josh Allen. He was a first-round draft choice. Granted, he was taken down in the 20s.
They traded up to get it.
They did. It was bottom half of the first round. Raw prospect. It's on him to develop his skills. I don't know if he can develop, though, if you're not playing games. You want to get on the field before you're 28. He's going to have to probably move out of there.
And I'll say this, in Jordan Love's defense, and I don't know the guy, but I'll say this. When he gets in against Kansas City, nobody's seen him play, and he's sitting there watching Aaron Rodgers go week in, week out. And teams are – they're playing – defensive defense, right? I mean, they're like going, oh, my gosh, this is Aaron Rodgers. We can't do this because he'll kill us. We can't do that. We hope we can do this, right? Well, when you're playing Jordan Love, he gets nothing that Aaron Rodgers gets. He's getting all this exotic, you know, all this stuff, this look, that look, and all of that stuff. He gets stuff Aaron Rodgers never gets. So he never sees Aaron Rodgers handle that stuff because everybody knows Aaron will kill him. So he's getting stuff he can't even prepare for on film when he gets in against Kansas City. Kansas City's not going to do the same thing against him that they would do against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So he can sit here and watch Aaron Rodgers do it after Aaron Rodgers has proven what he can accomplish. But he's a rookie and comes in and he gets treated like Josh Allen got treated. He gets treated like all these other Jamokes got treated when they came in the league without knowing anything. So he can't mentally prepare or take mental reps sitting there watching Aaron Rodgers play.
Yeah.
Even, as good as Aaron Rodgers is. And that's the kind of the catch 22, you know what I mean? Because if you're playing behind, you know.
Well, all the more reason to move then.
Right. If he wants to get on the field, hey, he's got to get out of there, man. My question is,
There's enough teams out there desperate for quarterback help.
He should, yes. If he's any kind of competitor, he's banging on the door going, listen, get me out of here. Let's go. Come on. Yeah. I want to play. I didn't train my entire life to be a football player so I can sit and just, you know, take a paycheck. I want to compete. I want to play. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The paycheck's not bad.
But for still, holding a clipboard.
Yeah. But you got to go to work every day, and it's like, golly, man, give me a chance to – maybe I could be really good.
Yeah. Brandon Bean spoke on WGR's morning show this morning and addressed a number of topics, and we'll run through those here, and we'll also play some of his comments for you in case you missed that interview this morning with Howard and Jeremy. Kind of a combine wrap-up, free agency preview-type deal. And I guess these are the highlights for all intents and purposes. He's not going to use the franchise tag on anyone. That was readily assumed in light of their cap situation. They're really not in a position to throw that kind of money around. Second, they intend to use the fifth-year option on Ed Oliver. The deadline for that's May 2nd. He already said that back in January, so that remains consistent. He then said, with the cap at 208.2, the Bills have a lot of work to do to get under. And in addition to that, have money to spend in free agency. So that is where we begin here, because he was asked, just how much work do you have to do to get under the salary cap? Here was Brandon Bean's answer.
Yeah, I need a loan. We're in the red right now. Without looking at it, I think we're about 6.5, 6.6, something like that over. So, I wish I had more room, but that's part of where we're at. Still digging ourselves out of the pandemic, going backwards in some of our planning, and obviously paying Josh and some of the guys that we paid. But so we've got some moves we've got to get done between now and next week. We got some ideas. We've had conversations and. We'll get there in time. You have to, so we'll get that done. But, yeah, I mean, even before, you know, anybody that – if we can bring anybody back, any of our current free agents, that would add to that number. So it's not like I can just clear, you know, 6.8 and say we're done. We got a lot, and that doesn't count draft picks. You know, we'll have to clear money for draft picks as well. So we got work to do, and as a lot of teams do, it's still hard. The cap, as I said, the cap went up this year, but we're still catching up. It should have been in the 220s if we hadn't had the setback of COVID.
So I think he's painting a pretty grim picture here as to all the work that has to be done, Steve. They're going to have to be jumping through some fiery hoops here to get where they want to and have enough room to actually make some free agent signings, let alone re-sign some of their own, or at least be competitive to re-sign some of their own.
They're gonna have to restructure some guys, no question. Maybe outright release some guys.
They may.
Or make some trades and do some things with personnel. There's no question there's at least going to be some money moving around accounts in there, right? I mean, they got to move some money around.
Yeah.
So when they do that, they'll free it up. But he's right. $6 million just gets them to the cap.
Right.
They still have, if they want to sign anybody or you know, go out and get anybody in the free agent market, they've got to clear up like $26 million, right? You need to have like maybe $20 million laying around to sign guys and get back to within, and then still have $5 million under the cap for working the roster throughout the season.
Right. You need a little cushion, right?
So you're
and
looking
your
at
a rookie pool. I estimated it at about $8 million for your rookie pool. We'll get confirmation or maybe a better estimate from Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack, who's going to be joining us in the second hour of the show.
So
but that's another $8 million.
If you go $8 million and the minus six, so you're looking at $14 million just to get to,
under the cap,
just to get your draft class
and
signed.
Sign your draft class.
And sign your class. You'll need another 10.
At least.
At least to do anything of note in free agency.
I mean, yes, you have nine.
You're talking about $30 million they got to clear up. To
space wise,
to take part in free agency,
I would agree with that. Because let's not forget, this team's got 15 free agents. That's 15 people not on the roster. And again, the salary cap only counts the top 51 salaries. But man, like, holy cow! I mean, there's I don't know if everybody has a full picture as to the work Brandon Bean and his personnel department and his salary cap management department have in front of them here. It is a sizable task. Might not be quite as big as the task was last year, but their cap situation, even in a restrictive year, seemed to be in a better spot at that time because they had not yet paid Josh Allen. They had not yet paid or had not yet come up to pay the fifth-year option on Tremaine Edmonds, which comes due this year at $12.7 million. So those are two players alone that have dramatically altered and shifted the cap for the Bills. And there's no reason to think either of them are going anywhere. But there are going to be other players on this roster that very likely are going to either A, have to restructure their deal, B, take a pay cut, just an outright pay cut, or C, be moved off the roster. Because I don't see how you get all of that money shaved off your cap
right,
unless you're doing some of all three of those things.
Yeah, they got to attack it on all fronts. They've got to do some of that, all of those things. And there's no question, we talked about it. It's going to be a very different roster. It was a very different roster from 2020 to 2021. And it's going to be a very different roster from 21 to 22. On a normal year, when you've got cap space, you change out at least 12 guys.
Right. Now, here was the next thing that Brandon Bean addressed in light of his description of the work they have to get done just to get under the cap. Brandon was asked if he envisions re-signing any of their own free agents prior to the opening of the free agent market. Here was his thoughts on that.
You know, I don't know. We've been in conversations with some guys. You know, I think, you know, some of our current free agents, you know, their agents were in Indy last week trying to get a feel for their market. And, you know, it's really hard in Indy to really get a feel for markets that well. I think there's a lot of smoke being blown out there and wishes. But, you know, we'll see. We'll continue those conversations. I think some of their representatives wanted to at least talk to, you know, other teams, you know, in some form or fashion and, you know, try to get the feel for what their market's going to be and see where we're at. And, you know, they want to get the best deal for their client, which that's their job. And we respect that for sure. So I don't know. I mean, I really don't, you know, we're in conversations, but still a ways away of we're not knocking on the door of anyone today of we're about to get something done.
So you know what that says to me, Steve? That comment there says to me that the agents for Buffalo's free agent players, they know the Bills are up against the cap and they're not likely to be in a position to offer fair market value in all cases.
Yeah.
So even though an agent might have a player that wants to re-sign with Buffalo, wants to be back, he's got to do right by his client and at least explore if there's a better money offer out there from a team with far more cap space. And so it's probably pretty unlikely that the Bills re-sign anybody, maybe one or two players, prior to the start of free agency and the market opening, because a lot of these players that our MSG viewers see listed here may want to look out on the open market to assess what their value is before they even come back to the Bills and say, well, Even though this is my market value, I realize you can't pay that. I still want to be here, so I'll resign. Or they might say, I really need you to come up to this number if I'm going to stay. And if you can't, right, I'm going to go take that deal.
Right. I mean, you're talking significant difference. Percentage difference is like 50% difference or maybe 100% different. You might want to, you know, some of these teams have money to spend. They need depth and quality players at those spots.
And they're willing to pay for it.
And they're willing to pay. They've got the money to pay for it. They want guys. And also, don't forget this, because this is something Bills fans that may slip by. You get a guy like Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, Emmanuel Sanders, Levi Wallace, these players, Harrison Phillips, some of these players now have been with the Bills most of their – well, Jerry Hughes not so much, but for 5 years. Some of these guys have 5 years under this culture – going to the playoffs almost every year, getting in the championship game, getting deep into the playoffs, winning playoff games, watching this team evolve through that. There's some young head coaches and some teams out there with some youth who would love to have some of these guys come in and say, hey, show us what they did. All of a sudden, you got Harrison Phillips, who is a veteran, who goes, listen, guys, here's how it works. And here, they were never asked to do that, but now other teams will see them like that. They'll have some intangible value for the experiences they've had in Buffalo, for the culture they've displayed in Buffalo, that will play very well in a young team like the Denver Broncos, you know what I'm saying? Or the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are trying to turn everything around. Even, you know, even a division rival like the Jets or the Dolphins.
Yeah.
You know, you get a second-year head coach like Robert Saleh and a first-year one like Mike McDaniels. Those guys are like, you know what? I know they played well for Buffalo. Let's bring them over here and see if we can get a little something from them outside the lines, as well as, you know, the play that we get.
Yeah.
So a lot of the guys on the Bills' free agent list, just like we've heard and we mentioned yesterday, there are players who are really interested in playing for Buffalo now that they are what they are. There's a lot of teams that are interested in what Buffalo can't afford anymore.
Yeah. I mean, Bean said it directly in the interview this morning. We're tight against the cap. We may lose some guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the anticipation here, because they just cannot – start getting into bidding wars for players. They're just not in a cap situation where they can do that. So, right. Yeah, and that's what led – well, go ahead.
No, I'll say this too, and everybody's – you know, you kind of sit here and you wring your hands like, going, oh, my gosh, we're going to lose this guy. We're going to lose that guy. Listen, that's why you pay Sean McDermott and this big coaching staff they've got here. They're going to find some guys and coach them up. They're going to feel confident in their ability to win with the guys they're going to have in the building. That's what coaches do, and that's what Sean has set Sean McDermott and this staff apart throughout his career here, tenure here, is the fact that this is a, you know, Levi Wallace, case in point, Taron Johnson, case in point, you know, Isaiah McKenzie, case in point, guys who showed up and is like, who is, you know, are they any good? Gabriel Davis.
Well, you're going to have to find more players like that are on the way up.
Right.
Not,
and that's what
not
they're
going to
do.
Guys that have come in here and established themselves.
But I'll say this as well. You can give the culture here and the program here and this growth mindset that they preach and display here is as big a reason for Gabe Davis and Isaiah McKenzie and all these guys getting better while they're here as the players themselves. They've got an environment where players start to play better. That's going to help them. Now, there may be some growing pains early on, but I still feel like this is a club and McDermott and his staff are going to feel really good about their ability to win, even if they don't get every single guy that was back off their roster from a year ago.
Yeah. On yesterday's show, we were talking about the report out there that the Bills were looking to make a big splash in free agency with a free agent that came to them and said, oh, you know, be interested in doing this, that, and the other. And we were talking about that on yesterday's show. But what is the reality of that? Some of us speculated, myself included, maybe that means a defensive end. Now, I didn't know if the Bills were going to be able to clear enough cap space to sign a gigantic defensive end. But in light of all that talk yesterday, Brandon Bean was posed that question today on making a big free agent move at defensive end, knowing their roster is currently made up of young players at that position. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those numbers are pretty high. I mean, we'd have to get really creative. Listen, we get in on a lot of conversations. We really do, you know, like J.J. Watt last year. But, you know, we never got down the road. What happens is you get – if you're in, you're talking, you get flagged, and people never – it never gets filled in Were you in for two conversations? Were you in for 8 days of tough negotiating? Like, where did the story end? And so we showed some mild interest, but ultimately, we couldn't do financially where he was heading. So we'll look at guys, but it's got to be something we can work. We want the best players that we can get, and but it's got to make sense. It's got to be the value for the money, whether you're talking about $7 million, $10 million, $15 million, whatever it is. Pass rushers are expensive. You know, after quarterbacks, that's generally about the most expensive position that you're going to go, shop for.
They're not getting a big money defensive end. That is not happening. There's just no way. How do you fit it under?
Right.
So I think what you're looking at possibly is Buffalo signing somebody to a 1, maybe a 2-year deal if they have to spread the money out, which presumably they do. So, maybe someone like Mario Addison is back on a cap-friendly deal because he's up there in age. He's 33. So maybe it's him. Maybe it's somebody like Jason Pierre-Paul, 33 years old. Probably his best days are behind him, but maybe he can offer you something as a rotational player, knowing the players rotate here pretty heavily. So maybe you can get more out of an older player here,
right?
And convince them, hey, you're not going to be playing 65 snaps a game. You'll be playing 34.
Yeah, and to that snap counts scenario that you're talking about, you get a guy like Larry Ogunjobi, who's from Cincinnati, right? And he's 27 years, I'm going to be 28 years old, played all 16 games last year and played over 700 snaps in the season.
He's going to be looking to get paid, though. He's a younger guy.
But those are the kind of guys you're saying, if you bring them in, those are the kind of names you're talking. That's defensive tackle. You get a defensive tackle.
And I don't think they're doing that.
If you can't get a defensive end, like Vernon Butler's on this list.
They're going to have enough trouble re-signing Harrison Phillips.
Right.
So, defensive end, you're looking at a 1-year deal with a voidable year to spread the money out. Because Brandon just said it. It's too expensive a position for them to be in the market for somebody in the middle to upper tier. They just can't do it. They got too many other holes to fill and not enough money to do it.
They've got 4 defensive linemen who played significant snaps last year on their rookie contracts. Ed Oliver.
Harrison Phillips.
Harrison Phillips. No, it's 5. Harrison Phillips not on his rookie contract. He's out.
Well, not anymore.
It's Ed Oliver, A.J., Boogie Basham, and Rousseau.
Yeah, and Basham didn't even play much. So.
And Basham was a rotational guy. But he's not going anywhere. He's going to be back here this year.
Right.
They've got those 4 guys. You got to find somebody. You got Starlo Tulele under contract.
Fat number.
On a big number. You need more production from him. But that, if they're going to continue. Now, you could say, all right, now the Bills are going to have to do it differently this year. They're going to have to play guys like for, 75% of the snaps instead of 40% of the snaps. Maybe they do that. Maybe they only go too deep deeper into that thing. Instead of having 8 guys rotate, they have 6, and they save the money that way. But even if they do, what are you going to do if some guy, 2 guys tweak their ankle,
I just, based on what he said today, there is no way a big splash free agent is coming at the defensive end position. It's too much money. Their cap situation is too restrictive. They're just not in a position to do it.
I don't like that move anyway. I hate.
But at the same time.
I hate big.
Right.
Deep. Big-time free agent. I hate him.
And I get it. But at the same time, you can't go into next season counting on A.J. Epinesa, Greg Rousseau, and Boogie Basham as your top 3 pass rushers and say, we're good.
Right.
You need some veteran insurance here in some way, shape, or form. The problem is you're looking at a 1-year deal with maybe a voidable year and paying a guy $5 million. Who are you getting for $5 million on the open market at defensive end that has some measure of production somewhere in his career? Yeah. Not many people.
Not many people. You'd be looking at giving F.A. Obada a pay raise to $2 million or $2.5 million and signing him to the same deal. He made $1.5 last year, and he played.
Right.
So he was also inactive.
If
they like him, they'll bring him back for that number or even a little bit more. But
I'm just wondering how far down the list you're going to have to go to get somebody you can afford. You're going to go pay a 34-year-old Everson Griffin? I mean, are you going to pay that guy? How much does Jason Pierre-Paul cost at 33 years old? Is he still looking for $8 million a year? Because I'm probably out if he's asking for eight. You want to talk six, five, but I don't know how you're getting a defensive end for $5 million. At least one that's right. worth his salt. You know what I mean? That's a problem there. I don't know how they're going to address that. It's going to be very interesting to see. We have to take a break here. When we come back, Brandon Bean also addressed the reports from last week about Cole Beasley being given permission to seek a trade and what could come of it. He addressed that subject. We'll pass those comments along to you when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. We told you at the break that we were going to pass along Brandon Bean's assessment of the Cole Beasley situation. He was given permission to seek a trade by the team late last week. And, you know, we were still at the combine when that news came down. So when Brandon Bean appeared on the WGR morning show with Howard and Jeremy this morning, they asked him where things stand on the possibility of trading Cole Beasley.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we just, you know, that was more of a situation. You know, we had not, you know, when I first talked, we had not spoken to Cole or his reps, but circled up with them recently when that report came out. And, you know, we listened, had conversations internally, and ultimately said we would allow Cole to seek that if he found a partner. And we didn't close any doors, so that's really where it's at. I don't want to get into conversations on where that stands. A lot of respect for Cole and his family and what they've done for the organization the last 3 years, and we'll let that play out.
So he's going to let it play out, and quite frankly, Steve, anytime a player is seeking a trade, I mean, essentially, it's one of two things. Either that player no longer wants to be in, you know, with the team that he's with, or B, the team has no problem moving on from the player. It's one or the other. Now, Brandon Bean has given indication they'd be happy to take him back. So I'd be inclined, knowing that it was Beasley asking for permission to seek a trade, is the guy that doesn't want to be here. Now, knowing that, knowing those details, if you're another team and you're interested in Cole Beasley, aren't you just waiting for him to get moved off the roster?
I'm not totally sold on the mind frame you're projecting on Cole. Here's the thing. Most guys have a keen awareness of what their contract says and what they're worth. Smart guys do. And Cole is sitting there looking at his number, which is it's a big number, I think, right? His number is Cole Beasley is 7.25 average salary. So there you go. He's had a 4-year $29 million
deal. His cap hit 7.6.
Right. So he's got a $7 million cap hit. He sees himself being more and more rotated in and out of it, and knows, given the reputation of this front office, that he's making a fat number for not getting very much of a chance to contribute, and whether he can or not.
Well, and if he's off the roster, he saves him a little over $6 million.
Right. Now, he knows, too, that they might have to make a tough decision. He's looking at the cap just like we are this morning, and he's saying that they might have to cut me, but I like it here. So why don't I just say this? If they can trade me, that way I can go to another team, and that team will either extend me and give me more money, or I'll at least make the money I'm supposed to be making. Because if I stay here, they can't pay me this. There's no way they can hang on to me.
And they're gonna have to take play for less.
I don't want to play for less if I don't have to, even if it's for another team. Because of my family, I got, you know, it's a business decision.
Yep.
The Bills are going to at least cut my salary in half. And that, you're talking, what are we saying? We're talking $3.5 million.
He's not playing for that. Not off back-to-back 82-catch seasons. He's not doing that.
No, 82-catch seasons are nothing to sneeze at.
That's what I'm saying. He's
right.
Not playing for less.
Right.
Not off back-to-back 82-catch seasons.
So he's saying, all right, if the Bills can't make this work, it's been good here. I'll tell you what, they'll get more relief if I can find a trade partner. Because if they just release me, they take a cap hit.
Well, it's only one. But the cap hit's 1.5. Instead of 7.6 if he's on the roster.
Yeah, nevertheless,
they still take that hit if they trade him anyway.
Well, you take a hit, not as big a hit.
No, it's the same hit. You pay for the, you're on the hook for the bonus money when you get
the bonus money, yeah, but not his not his salary.
Right. So that's what you're saving.
So, yes. But at least he'll go to a team, you know, he'll make that money. He knows if he stays here, he's not making it.
Yeah.
If he gets traded, he will. That's why he wants to get traded.
Well, it may be moot in a week because the Bills may have to move him off the roster to save on the cap, and then he's free anyway to sign with whoever he wants.
Right.
I mean, it's a weird preemptive move. Like, I don't know, maybe he just wants it out there that, hey, I'm probably going to be available. You can have me now. And
right, you know, and I won't squawk.
So he's probably saying that so he can get a jump on the market. He can put himself out there on the market before the market's even open by seeking a trade when everybody's got money to spend. Whereas, you know, you jump into the market at age 33 next week with everybody else that's a free agent, the money might not be there for you.
Well, here's also what it does. And Brandon Bean said he's not going to get into the conversations. Those conversations, in my opinion, I don't know this, I'm guessing, those conversations already have this precise number that they're thinking about giving him. Because he said, listen, we're going to give you this. If you go out on the trade market or whatever, we cut you, and the trade market, nobody's going to give you above this. We'll give you this to stay. You can trade it. We'll trade you if you want. No problem. You can make the 7.5 or whatever the number is. But this is what we're thinking you're worth. If you can get better, bless your heart. Go ahead. But that's what we'll give you.
Yeah, he's not the only guy they're saying that to
That's right. That's right.
I would say upwards of 10, 12 people they're saying that to right now.
Yeah, unless they're having conversations about, listen, we'll redo your deal right now. We'll give you a little more money now.
Now, you know, with that in mind, Brandon Bean was asked about that. Like, for example, Stephon Diggs was the largest cap figure on the roster. Hey, you know, he's got this year and next year on his current contract. And I think you could argue he's probably underpaid based on his production, even though he has the largest cap figure on the roster.
Yes, cap
he was asked today, have you broached the subject of a contract extension for Stephon Diggs? And Brandon Bean basically said, we'll look at everything. Definitely guys that have higher cap numbers, you look at everything, whether it's restructure, adding years. We will look at Steph's contract at some point and see if there's something that makes sense for both sides. But we haven't begun any discussions with his camp. So to me, that means he is not viewed as a solution for getting under the cap and having money to spend in free agency. That might be addressed later, but not in the next week.
Right.
So they're looking at other people.
His cap hit 17.9. $18 million to Steph.
I don't know
Diggs.
Why you wouldn't extend him.
Tre'Davious White's 16. Josh is 16. Then you get Tremaine Edmonds, it's 12.7. Deion Dawkins, 12.7. Mitch Morris, 11.2. Jordan Poyer, 10. Hyde, 10. Matt Milano, 10. Darrell Williams, 10. Starlo Tulele is 9. So you can, and then there's Cole Beasley at 7.6 cap hit.
Right.
So there's your list.
Yeah.
Of guys that you start with and say, okay, if you got – and you got to go to ownership for this too. I mean, the owner's got to be willing to write this check. You can say, well, he gets it back, not really. You know what I mean? That money's out. So you can kick it down the road, yeah, but you got to have the money in hand to do that and write that check. And you've got to still keep everything else in line as well. I mean, you got to keep your future.
Let me pose this to you. We already heard Brandon Bean address the fact that it's going to be hard to sign a veteran free agent at defensive end of any ilk because of the costs involved. It's a high-priced position. You could say the same thing about corner, although they've been able to sign bargain corners to one-year deals 3 of the last 4 years. Kevin Johnson, Josh Norman, E.J. Gaines, guys like that, with mixed degrees of success as backups. Knowing how tight they're going to be against the cap, Steve, and probably limited in what they can do in free agency, how likely do you think it is that they address the high-priced positions in the league, in the draft, and instead address their other holes at the lower-cost positions in free agency? For example, instead of getting a free agent wide receiver and paying him $10 to $12 million a year, you pay a tight end that's a decent player, but you're only paying him six. So you add a tight end as a receiving option to your passing attack rather than a receiver who would cost almost twice as much.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. We're looking at – oh, my goodness. Okay.
It looks like we have a blockbuster trade being reported.
Yeah, you're right. You get with what you can afford. And here's the thing. If it's a cheaper spot like a guard than it is a wide receiver, you can afford a better player for less money at guard than you can at wide receiver. So what I'm saying is a $2 million wide receiver veteran is not as good as a $2 million guard because a guard, that's a higher level of production for less money.
We have a trade alert as it is being reported now. I don't know. ESPN is reporting this. That after weeks of negotiations in one of the largest trades in NFL history, the Seahawks and Denver Broncos have agreed to terms for a deal involving quarterback Russell Wilson. The trade is pending a physical and Wilson's approval, as he does have a no-trade clause. But if memory serves, I believe Denver was one of the three teams he listed last year as a team he'd be willing to go to. They have a lot of weapons on offense on that roster. And you have to believe, Steve, and it's indicated in the report, weeks of negotiations. As soon as Aaron Rodgers was locked in Green Bay, which happened earlier today, the Broncos have apparently pulled the trigger. After being unable to find a quarterback via the draft or free agency for the better part of the last 10 years, they decide to make a trade for a proven commodity in Russell Wilson, who is now going to be a Denver Bronco, provided he approves the trade. And knowing he's probably wanted to get out of there for some time, I would expect him to say yes. So now Russell Wilson. It's good to be Nathaniel Hackett today. Russell Wilson will be throwing to guys like Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, K.J. Hamler, Noah Fant. And, you know, he's got some guys in the backfield as well. They're trying to re-sign Melvin Gordon. We'll see what happens there. But Russell Wilson, it looks like he is going to be a Denver Bronco for the second half of his NFL career.
It's not bad either. Russell Wilson, if he is all, and he is all, he signed through 2023. He's a free agent in 2024. So you got 2 years left, or you got 2 years left on this deal. He's only making $35 million a year. That's the cap hit. You can say, wow, 30 million. It's not that much for a guy of his caliber.
Well, plus they have Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler all in their rookie contracts. I believe Noah Fant is still on his rookie deal. So you have cheap receiving options right now where you can absorb that kind of a contract from a quarterback. So, yeah, knowing Nathaniel Hackett like we do, I would venture to guess he's doing cartwheels down the hall in Denver. We have to take a break here. When we come back, more discussion on that, as well as the Bills and their free agent plans and the work they have to do to have any plans at all. We'll be back in a moment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. We are in the wake of a major blockbuster trade in the NFL, as it's been reported that the Seahawks and the Broncos have agreed in principle on a trade, sending Russell Wilson to Denver for what Tom Pelissero of NFL Network is calling a massive haul, multiple first-round picks, plus additional picks and players per sources. And now it is being reported that Drew Lock, the quarterback for Denver, is part of the deal. He's going the other way to the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, it's been – Adam Schefter also chimed in. It's one of the largest trades in NFL history. We'll see. We have no idea what the details are yet, but man, oh, man. That's interesting. I can't wait to find out.
In other news that's getting buried in the AFC West – the Los Angeles Chargers have successfully re-signed free agent wide receiver Mike Williams to a reported 3-year deal worth $60 million, $40 million of that guaranteed. So Mike Williams has a career year and cashes in big time at the rate of $20 million per season. And then in some news that you really don't care about, another player has been hit with the franchise tag. Jacksonville Jaguars left tackle Cam Robinson has been tagged for the second straight offseason. So another player added on the franchise tag list. So I think that's everything. We'll wait on the details trickling out in terms of just exactly what is going to Seattle. But it's interesting. Steve mentioned this during the break. Someone said, well, the Seattle Seahawks gave up a pair of ones for Jamal Adams. How many should they get in return for Russell Wilson? Four? Probably four. And I don't know they're going to get that. Not for a 31-year-old quarterback.
I don't know.
Even as good as Russell Wilson. But maybe.
Think about we talked about this, too, during the break. So you got Mahomes, Josh Allen. You've got Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. You've got Trevor Lawrence. And now you got Russ Wilson, Derek Carr. Who else is in the AFC? Golly, who am I missing?
Well, how about the AFC West alone? Mahomes, Carr,
Herbert.
Wilson, and Herbert. Have fun with that. Have fun with that. And that's
Derek
why
Derek Carr is going,
that,
ho, ho, ho.
That, quite frankly, is why Denver did what they did today. They have no choice.
Yeah, they got
without a quarterback, you can't even compete in your own division. Forget about the conference. Yeah.
And they got to get it. And they got to get it. They got to get it now, too. I mean, they can't. What are they going to do? Wait for Pat Mahomes to play another 8 years, or Justin Herbert to play 15? Derek Carr's in right in the midst of his. He's the old one. Yeah, you know what? Russ Wilson gives him some legitimacy, though. I mean, right away.
Oh my gosh,
the guy can play.
He's a 9-time Pro Bowl player.
The guy can play.
He's got a Super Bowl ring.
No question about it. He can play.
2-time NFC champion. One of the most accurate deep ball throwers in the league.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Denver can compete now. They were desperate in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
They had to pull the trigger on something this big and, you know, throw caution to the wind. They had to do it. There's no question about it. People obviously are quoting out the tweet from Pete Carroll at the Combine last week when he said, "We have no intention of trading Russell Wilson." Less than a week later, he's a Denver Bronco.
After weeks of negotiations. That, well, here's the thing.
Let me ask you
this.
It's
group dynamics. You got to say those things.
Well,
you
right.
have to say those
let
things.
Let me ask you this. If you're the Broncos, was this an if-then scenario? If we can't get Rodgers, we're all in on Wilson. Is that probably how it went, you think, Denver?
Well, considering both pieces of news dropped today, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the timing is not a coincidence.
Right.
They said, exactly. All right, Rodgers is off the table, all in on Wilson. Here we go.
Yeah.
And that's probably.
Yeah, you think about it. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, you know. Wow.
Peter Schrager reporting, it's not only Drew Lock, there are multiple other veteran players and a combination of 4 draft picks. So we'll see how many
gotta
of those
two
are.
Ones, two twos.
It's got to be at least 2 ones, at least. So it's presumably going to be a king's ransom for a quarterback who probably intends to play for at least another 6 to 8 years, maybe longer, because the word on the street is he has been a big proponent of learning what Tom Brady did to prolong his career, because he wants to play that long himself.
Right.
It's been written, it's been said that Russell Wilson cares very much about legacy. So, his own legacy, that is. So he wants to play as long as possible, all indications are. We'll see how long he can go with the Denver Broncos. So, big news of the day, for sure. We have to take a break here, because when we come back, we're going to be joined by SpotTrack.com founder and salary cap guru, Mike Jannetty, going to join us on the show here for hour number 2. And, hey, if the numbers come in on Rodgers, we can dice those up with him. But the main point here is to dice up the cap situation and the work that has to get done by Brandon Bean and company here at One Bills Drive to not only get under the cap, but put themselves in a position to do some things in free agency. We talk with Mike next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Steve Tasker, who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual-role player for you.
Steve!
A balloon.
Steve!
A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
All right, welcome to hour number two here on a Tuesday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. One Bills Live is the show.
And all this stuff's happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going down here. We hit the bewitching hour prior to free agency. With the trade, if you haven't heard, of Russell Wilson from the Seahawks to the Broncos, four draft choices going in the other direction, the nature of which we do not know yet, along with quarterback Drew Lock, defensive lineman Shelby Harris, among other players that have yet to be revealed. But here to help us sort a lot of that out, along with the Bills cap situation as they prepare for free agency, is the co-founder, managing editor at Spot Track, also host of the Spot Track podcast. It is Mike Giannini joining us. Mike, how you doing? You got your slide rule out for this? There's a lot flying at us here in one time.
Yeah, this is a multiple phone situation right now. 3-4 monster blockbuster breaking news items here. So happy to join you guys for sure.
Right, so, certainly we got the word that we're starting to hear word that about Aaron Rodgers' contract being $200 million over 4 years, and now we're hearing that's not quite accurate. Don't know what those particulars are going to be. Now the Russell Wilson trade has also come down. What are your thoughts on the timing of those two announcements and how they fit together, and what did Rodgers signing the extension lead to Wilson being the last option for Denver?
Oh, it's possible. Certainly the consecutive announcement makes us think that, but I think the March 8th date was more about the franchise tag window for Green Bay than it was about Aaron Rodgers having to kind of force the hand here. The Davante Adams situation was probably tied at the hip to Aaron Rodgers' decision, and now we certainly know where that's headed, regardless of what the numbers are going to be here. It sounds to me, and I've heard this quite a bit over the past couple of weeks, that Russell Wilson might have been plan A for Denver, that this was in the works for quite a while, and it was simply about understanding what this compensation was going to be. I think we're going to see multiple players along with those four picks involved here. So this is going to be a big one. It's going to be franchise changing for Denver, who were preparing for this last year with in-house extensions, with some cap casualties to get up, prime themselves for dropping in a veteran quarterback like this, like they did with Peyton Manning not too long ago.
All right. So with that in mind, Mike Williams looks like he's set the early wide receiver market at $20 million per 3 years, $60 million, $40 million guaranteed, according to reports that just came down in the last 10, 15 minutes. Who was at the top of the market last year? What was it? Galladay had an $18 million a year deal from the Giants, and that went over like a lead balloon as he struggled to stay healthy again. $20 million for Mike Williams, who, granted, did put up a career year. I know you're big on projecting values for potential free agents on your site, spottrack.com, Mike. Did you kind of have him in that window? Are we in the era of $20 million a year receivers?
Yeah, we had him about $18 million, so right around that Galladay number, Chris. And to me, Mike Williams is a we're-not-sure wide receiver. He's not even a slam dunk, right? I mean, you mentioned the small sample size of him finally breaking out. I expect now Chris Godwin to go way north of that. And look, Davante Adams, as mentioned, he's going to break the bank. He's going to reset this whole thing, possibly upwards of $30 million per year. So, if quarterbacks are nearing $50 million a year, everybody else is going to have to slightly come up, and I think that's what's going to happen with this wide receiver market.
I'm just shocked it's so short. Like, if you're going to commit $20 million a year to a guy, now you're going to let him get out of it. I mean, for the player, it's great. He's getting paid top-of-the-market money, and he's going to get out of it at, like, 28, 29.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what his agent was looking for, and I'm a big proponent of that. Small contracts, player control, control where you want to be in terms of the rest of your career when you're in your prime, which he is still. Look, it could be something that Amari Cooper's contract just scared off, right? Amari Cooper's 5-for-100 was never 5-for-100. It was 2-for-40. That's exactly what it's going to be at the end of the day here. So if I'm Mike Williams' agent, I'm saying let's just trim the fat off the back end of that, make this a real 2-2.5-year contract, and then I can control where I go after that.
One of the things that makes it different in this day and age, as talking from an old guy here, players do play longer now. The game, they do protect these guys. The head and neck contact has been alleviated. The going low, the peel back blocks, all the quarterbacks in particular are going to play longer because they're safer. And players, I think, feel better about betting on themselves for a year and a half, thinking, okay, I'm not going to get rung up physically, and I will be able to play well and still, and walk out of here healthy. Now, you do get the occasional,
OBJ, who non-contact ACL. Same thing with a Tre'Davious White, non-contact ACL. Those are the ones that kind of crush you. But the physical injuries that guys get now, those are less and less common. So guys taking shorter contracts, playing hard for a year, and hitting another financial home run seems more and more prevalent.
Yeah, it's a great point. And by the way, those injuries that you mentioned there, that's not even stopping teams from paying. You know, right. Godwin's a great example of that. He's about to get, you know, $100 million here from somebody, Tampa Bay or somebody. And, you know, his injury was as bad as any of them here. So all of it's kind of come full circle. I'm a big fan of this small, short and sweet, get in, get out. And even to the degree of, you know, you had a rough season, you're hitting the open market, take that one-year deal. Take a one-year deal with value, with incentives built in to build up your resume. You know, do it with a contender, get yourself in the postseason, get yourself, you know, like OBJ did, and you'll have no problem cashing in again.
So, Mike, we were kind of reviewing Brandon Bean's comments from the Howard and Jeremy show this morning here on WGR, and basically the takeaways I got from it, and you can tell me if you feel differently, they're not going to be in a cap position to get a veteran defensive end of any kind of significant money. Because of where they currently sit with the cap situation, unless they do some drastic things and really clear some money out. Second, they've yet to discuss contract extension with Stephon Diggs, which I saw as an option to kind of create more cap space. And you can make the argument that he's underpaid in light of his last 2 years of production. And then the other thing was the fact that I was trying to read the tea leaves here, and I'm wondering, instead of going into free agency and trying to get a supplemental piece at wide receiver, maybe do it at tight end where the cost isn't as high as the wide receiver position. So maybe just walk through what you think of those three things. Basically, no Diggs extension talk yet. Defensive end market, going to be hard to find anybody worth their value with the cap situation they're in. And then finally, the last part about maybe looking for a lesser cost position to help on offense.
Yeah, first off, my initial takeaway was be prepared for boring. I think that's what we're headed for here a little bit. Just kind of temper your expectations of splashy moves this offseason. And I think that's right. To me, what Brandon Bean has to do most right now is solidify his culture, solidify the way he does business during this time, because they're a winning franchise now, and, you know, not certainly all the way, but doesn't mean you have to go off course and go off track and make big decisions just because that's what Twitter is saying we should do, you know? And I think that's kind of what I read from him, was we're going to be slow and steady and go through this process piece by piece. And there isn't a need for Stephon Diggs right now, even though I'm out there saying, I think it is the right move. I think they should align the guaranteed money for Stephon Diggs with Josh Allen over the next 3 to 4 years and link those two together. But it's not necessary. He's got 2 years left. And if Brandon Bean's not the kind of GM that's going to extend a player with 2 years left, then he's got to hold to that. In terms of the rest, I'm with the tight end market. It's a big tight end market in terms of free agency and in the draft, but it's a bigger wide receiver market in the draft. And I think that's what you do there. Whether it's a second round pick, whether it's with that first round pick, you can supplement a WR2 or 3 immediately out of the gate in this draft based on the talent we're seeing, 4, 5, 6 options. So I expect that's the process. I don't think you're going to see a lot of major names coming in here. And if they are major names, they're probably older major names to make sure that cost is a little bit suppressed.
What do you think the rookie pool will have to be this year? Any ideas? I mean, Brent, we've got around
what, I was 8 guessing million? 8 million, but what do you think that was just a dart I'm throwing.
We've got it at about 8 internally here, but I expect a trade back. So I think it's going to be a little less than that with a trade back.
Oh, yeah, with everything,
And also, the crusher of today, forget Aaron Rodgers, forget Russell Wilson. Now that Seattle, it looks like Seattle's going to get Denver's number 9 overall pick. All the mock drafts are moot. Now what do we do? That's why you never get everybody who's doing a mock draft today, just like, I got to do it. I got to redo it now. It's all wasted. Oh, my gosh. You know, tell me a little bit about what this means, too, because we got another hot top flight quarterback. We've been talking about this. Another top flight quarterback in the AFC. Russ Wilson comes over. I think probably San Francisco chipped in one of their first rounders to get him out of the division, and they'll throw a first rounder into Denver as well, say thank you very much. What do you think about, you know, how this is going to shake out? Now, okay, Kyler Murray,
Matthew Stafford.
Matt Stafford, and that's where I stopped. Where's the other NFC? Rodgers.
You're talking about NFC
quarterbacks? NFC quarterbacks now. Who? Jameis Winston. There
no,
you go.
No. No.
That's your next. Who's taking
possibly
snaps
Brady,
over there
right?
besides those guys? Jimmy Garoppolo. He doesn't. I mean, come on.
Steve's beside himself.
Kirk Cousins. Justin
Dak
Fields,
Prescott,
Jalen
yeah.
Hurts.
Dak Prescott, yeah.
Dak Prescott, okay, yeah, there you go, Dak. Thank yeah. you. Washington
Scott. It's definitely
a
one-sided league right now. There's no question. I mean, the AFC West is ridiculous right now.
Right.
It's ridiculous. So it's tough sledding for these Bills come January, come February. There's no question about it. But, you know, I think everybody here likes what we saw, and I don't think we need to shake this thing up too much. I think this is a strong, deep roster. There's probably four or five cap casualties coming. That I would expect throughout the roster. And like I said, four or five replacements via free agency. But it's a big draft. It's a big draft for depth, for immediate depth on this team at some of these positions we're talking about. But the quarterback stuff, it's not going away. We're not done yet either. You know, Matthew Stafford's about to get $45 million a year. Kyler Murray, you mentioned there, he might get $45 million a year here in the next couple of weeks based on what we're reading out of Arizona. And look, Russell Wilson might get a new contract in Denver now as well. So this money it's absurd. But it's in line with how this game is being played and how the business of it is working out.
You mentioned cap casualties for the Bills, which I think we all agree is probably going to have to happen to some extent for the Bills to have enough money to work with, not only with their draft pool, but to maybe re-sign a couple of their own and to perhaps be somewhat of a marginal player in free agency. Because the fact remains they have 15 free agents still. So those are holes to fill, whether you're filling them with the guys that are the free agents or you're looking somewhere else, free agency or the draft. You know, Cole Beasley, I thought, was a candidate for that. Now he's, you know, got permission to seek a trade. But who's biting on that when most teams out there probably know that short of a trade, the Bills may have to move on from him anyway?
Yeah, that's usually how it works. If anything, it's going to be a late round pick or he'll be packaged into a bigger deal. Similar to what we're seeing here with Denver. So it's possible. We've seen it happen before, but the wide receiver market is so deep everywhere you look. I just think that a name like Cole Beasley is not going to hold too much weight out there right now.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think his market value is if he is released and comes back as a total free agent?
It's probably getting cut in half. If he's a $6 million player now, he's probably about $3.5 million on the open market. So it's possible that a team recognizes that and just simply restructures his current contract if they, you know, pick him up for a seventh round pick. But I do think at the end of the day, he hits the market and probably leaves town. I think the Bills will look to replace his position specifically in the next couple of weeks here.
Mitch Morris is a player that, you know, kind of sticks out like a sore thumb with his contract. He did, you know, restructure last year to help the team. You could argue he had his best season in a Bills uniform last year. I mean, really played well, played all 17 games, was one of their most consistent performers up front. Knowing that there's a possibility here, Mike, that other cap casualties exist on the offensive line, whether it's John Feliciano or somebody else, do you think they make a difficult decision on Morse? Or do they go to him first and maybe just say, hey, would you be willing to work this again? Pay cut? Do you extend him a year? What do you think is the best option there?
Yeah, I don't know if you can go to him again and ask, because I think once you go there once, you're probably playing with fire to do it again. If it happens, to me, it's one of the last moves that Brandon Bean tries to make to free up cap space. I agree with you. I think he had the relationship with Allen last year was really good and probably could take another year to figure that out. I'm in the camp that you restructure Mitch Morse. And you push something into 2023 and you stick it out for 2022, because I do believe they'll move on from Feliciano. And I don't want to shake things up too much in terms of cap casualties on that offensive line, even though from a draft standpoint, I think that's definitely one of the top three picks.
We're starting to get some of the details on the Seattle Seahawks, Denver Broncos trade. Looks like the Broncos get Russell Wilson and 1 fourth round pick from the Seahawks, but the Seahawks get 2 ones, 2 twos, a fifth, Drew Lock, Shelby Harrison, Noah Fant.
Ooh, they got Noah Fant.
Noah Fant's kind of a get, I think.
Yeah.
Big.
Yeah. I think
Fant, Lockett, and DK Metcalf. That's not bad. That's attractive for a free agent quarterback like, Mitchell Trubisky.
And also,
yeah,
that gives
Drew Lock, right?
That also sets Seahawks. No. That also sets the Seahawks to possibly grab a guy in the draft like the Kenny Pickett or one of the toolsy guys.
Malik Willis.
You know, one of the guys. You know, when Josh Allen came out, the Seahawks loved him because of his tools. You know, they like toolsy players, right? Pickett falls into that, right? A guy with a big arm and an athletic, and one of those guys. So now all of a sudden, Seattle could replace Russ Wilson right away and do what they did in 2012 with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, this could be a total rebuild on the fly with that kind of compensation coming back if they hit that quarterback. But look, they could go free agency. They could go trade as well if they want to really do this thing on the fly quickly and bring in a veteran like a Garoppolo. I guess a Kirk Cousins could be sitting out there for a trade if they need it. So this is a big, big pullback for Seattle, no question.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so how much cap room do the – I mean, we were trying to add it up in our head here, Mike. You need about $8 million for the rookie pool. You need about $6.5 million just to get under the cap number. So, that I mean, you're 14 and change right there. What do you need in addition to that to at least fill your holes in free agency, like fill a handful of holes in free agency anyway, so you're not completely overmatched entering the draft?
Right, so let's bring it to $17 million with a tender for Ryan Bates, which is a slam dunk. That's $2.5 million right there,
yeah.
Barring an extension. You got to free up probably another $20 million, minimum $20 million, just to give yourself some kind of wiggle room. And I know this isn't a big restructure organization, and rightfully so. There's pros and cons, but there are a few contracts just kind of sitting there to do it. Guys who are going to be here for 3-4 years, you know, Tre'Davious, Deion Dawkins, just some really strong contracts. I'm not sure I'd touch Josh Allen until next year, the way that contract is structured. But look, at the end of the day, if they're $4 or $5 million short, then you just extend Stephon Diggs. I think he'd be comfortable at that point saying, you know, this guy's certainly going to be here. We could free up the cap space by adding, not subtracting at that point. And that's certainly on the table, even if though right now he's trying to say it's not for negotiation purposes.
And what about a player that is at least a polarizing figure among the fan base, Tremaine Edmonds, obviously fifth-year option year, 12.7. Logic would say extension option there if they want him, you know, long-term. But it seems to me they're still wondering what he is in terms of true value long-term anyway. They were fine picking up the option. But beyond that, I don't want to put words in their mouth as to how they feel, but if he doesn't get extended, because you look at that as another option to kind of alleviate things with your cap situation.
Oh, no question. I mean, you could free up 4 or 5 easily there, knocking down that fifth-year option for Edmonds. I'm with you. I'm not hearing the right things from anybody. And some of that is I'm hearing nothing, which, you know, is not good for the player generally. This organization has shown that they'll let guys go to the end. You know, Matt Milano, those kind of players.
Yep.
Good players, players of value. Harrison Phillips this year. Run your contracts out and we'll deal with it through the off season. And if not, if we get outpriced, you know, we're confident that we can find a replacement. So I expect that's the route they go. I don't think Tremaine Edmonds is a franchise tag candidate, knowing the linebacker numbers,
right,
which are way too high in terms of what he would make on an annual basis. So I just think we're headed towards a path of free agency. And, you know, this time next year, he'll be a big, big what if.
Yeah, I agree with that. There are going to be some tangible changes on this roster. I said this a little bit ago, that this is why head coaches and coaching staffs are paid a lot of money, and GMs and everybody. They're built and paid to replace guys and coach them up and get them to replace guys who have played well for the franchise. This club up until now, and I think we're seeing a little bit of their own victimization of how well they've done. Nobody knew Levi Wallace was going to be an undrafted guy, was going to be a 5-year starter, 4-year starter at that level and take on all comers. Nobody knew Taron Johnson was going to be a guy who showed up and was an absolute rubber stamp starter from the day one. The two safeties, Hyde and Poyer, Tre'Davious White, go down the, and Tremaine Edmonds and Milano. You go down the list. These guys have shown up and played really, really well. Now it's up to the club to replace him with the same quality of guy and let him go make their money someplace else. That's hard to do, man.
The coaching part, it's a really great point, though, and maybe something we're undervaluing throughout the league. You know, we give so much credit to the GM and being able to kind of pluck and find those kind of players that fit the system. But you know, a lot of it is the immediacy of coaching these players up so that there is no gap, so that there is no big letdown at any one position. And that is what the Bills have shown. Now, look, there is something to falling in love with your players too much as well.
Yeah.
I think in Buffalo, we remember those glory Sabres years where everybody kept coming back and back and back and back, and there really wasn't turnover on that roster. And I think that that bit them in the end. I really think that's what you know, held them back from being successful to the final point. So there is a need for turnover, in my opinion, in some cases. And we will see that. I think Levi Wallace is a candidate to leave this offseason. There's a chance Harrison Phillips gets priced out, like I mentioned. But I agree with you. I would trust that the GM and the coaching staff collectively have the pieces in place and the know-how to immediately coach up new players and get them ready to go here.
Last one I've got for you, Mike, is this. Not to look too far into the future here, but you – and the cap is going up, presumably, to a reported 230, which is great news. But at the same time, you look at what's on the horizon for the Bills, as we already mentioned, decision on Tremaine Edmonds. You're going to have Ed Oliver in his fifth-year option year. And then you're going to have to take care of Gabriel Davis. You're going to have to take care of Dawson Knox. And then you're going to have – I mean, you've got some important people playing major roles that are going to be looking to make big money on their second contracts. It's like even if you get out from under all of this now – next year, it's almost like an albatross. It's going to be right back again with some of the quality young talent you have on this roster.
Yeah, and potentially throw Stephon Diggs into that conversation
right.
If they wait one offseason, which could be, you know, half of your wide receiver arsenal up for contract. Again, you know, the contracts that have been signed over the past year and a half, especially last offseason, have been either at or under our projected values. Not that we're set in stone or, you know, our numbers are gold. But mathematically speaking, that would mean that the Bills are getting some sort of hometown discount. And it would be my impression that that's how they would continue to operate. We have a number. We have a bar. We won't go over it. And if you go find a price that you want to take elsewhere, we will replace you and try to make it work on our end. So I don't think there's going to be a point with any of these players. And I include Allen. I think even Josh Allen's contract is fair value for what he has done and what his ceiling is going to be over the next 3 years. I just think there's a point and there's a price on every player right now internally in the Buffalo Bills organization. And there's no going over that. And that's very Patriots-esque to bring that back in.
Last one I've got for you. And one of the things, it is about value. You get a guy like Gabe Davis who has played extremely well and overperformed his draft status, that kind of thing. The problem is this, and it's a little bit like the running back position. Most teams ain't going to pay a running back or take a running back top five overall. They get him in the third round, fifth round, sixth round, replacement, rookie free agents and all of that. Wide receiver, on the other hand, every draft is neck deep in wide receivers who are starting quality. Every team's got three or four of those guys. Certainly they're all a little bit different, but a guy like Gabe Davis, when his number comes up, hey, there's four more just like him in the draft this year. We can pick one up at pick number 103. Kind of thing, right? Certainly he won't be Gabe Davis, a four-year veteran, but he'll be Gabe Davis in his rookie year, that kind of thing. So the position that these guys play may have as much to dictate about how much movement there is as any. We got two tight ends that are on the franchise tag. They're 10.8. That's a low number for a position that a lot of teams wish they had that guy more than anything because they're so hard to find. I think position analysis and what importance teams actually place on those has as much to do with and also the prevalence of those players out there. So many wideouts, not that many tight ends, so many running backs, you know, not that many left tackles. You know what I'm saying? So it's as much about the scarcity and the importance of the position as it is about the guy you've actually got on your roster.
So 100%, you know, there's positions of prime that we like to call it, and certainly the wide receiver is one of that, but because of the supply-demand situation, this is the third straight offseason where I can say that there are at least a dozen free agent / trade block wide receivers available and a phenomenally deep first and second round of wide receivers, three
right.
in a row. So at some point, there's going to be a breaking point with a player like Gabriel Davis, who's looking for $12 million to start. And you know, most of the contenders in the league simply won't do that because they can't do that from a cap perspective or a cash perspective. So I understand that part of it. The difference is the intangible, right? If he's got a relationship with Josh Allen that is just too important to this roster, that's where the money and the business side of it kind of has to take a back seat at some point, because, you know, we've seen that issue with the big boys, with Rodgers, with Brady. There are certain guys that they just gel, they just click. You know, Edelman with Brady, for instance. I think Alan Lazard with Rodgers right now is going to be a point of contention over the next couple of weeks in terms of his contract. If there's that kind of relationship that's you know, furthered over the next season here, then his contract may become as important as any of these ones we're talking about.
Mike, thanks very much for the time. We know you're going to be a busy man over this next week plus, so enjoy crunching all the numbers and getting your site updated. We'll be watching.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Mike Jannetty, SpotTrack co-founder and managing editor. Great site if you're interested in the cap figures and things like that. He is right on the cutting edge of all of that as it happens. He's probably madly scrambling to his site right now to see if there are figures in on the Rodgers contract yet, to see if Russell Wilson is in line for an extension with or a new deal of some kind with the Denver Broncos after being traded just a short time ago. Do we have full terms yet, Steve, on let's see here. Trade package. Seattle gets Drew Lock, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and a fifth-round pick. The Broncos get Russell Wilson and a four. That is a haul.
Yeah, the four.
Now, the question is, are all of those picks for this year? Well, obviously, the two firsts and the two seconds are not in the same year.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, are three of those five picks this year? That's what I'm
Seattle gets
in.
Back the two ones it traded for Jamal Adams, gets a second, 2 seconds, fifth, and three players. Locke, Shelby Harris, Noah Fant. And if it's a one this year, it's the Broncos' number nine overall pick. They had a top 10 pick for that. That's big. And I think that, you know,
that's probably why they only had to part with two first rounders, not more than that.
Right, because it's top 10.
Yeah.
And I agree with it. But, I mean, that's a. I mean, Russ has got to sitting there thinking, and for the Broncos, yeah, okay, that's fine.
They'll be able to compete now, no question about it.
I wonder, it's easier. Is it going to be easier to sell the Broncos with Russ Wilson at quarterback than Drew Lock?
A little bit.
Right?
A little bit.
A little bit of buzz there.
We have
now.
A 9-time Pro Bowler at quarterback. Come buy your season tickets. People are probably blowing up the phones right now.
Oh, yeah.
We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll get some of your thoughts on the tweet sheet. Take your phone calls as well. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. There is some more news. Green Bay reporter Tom Silverstein is reporting that Devontae Adams has been told the Packers will put the franchise tag on him. All going to become official right before the deadline here. Adams does want a long-term deal, and the Packers will have to pay him a lot, especially in the wake of the Mike Williams deal. How much are the Green Bay Packers cursing the Chargers right now? After that deal Mike Williams just signed for $20 million per.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to pay him a lot of money. Obviously, you know, getting an agreement done with Rodgers presumably helps negotiations with Adams because he knows his number one quarterback is going to be there for the foreseeable future. But you're talking probably a little more than $20 million a year now for Devontae Adams after Mike Williams got 20 per. So have fun with that.
Yeah. How does that affect, does this contract of Mike Williams affect the cap, the franchise number? For wideouts. Got to, right?
No, it only affects it the year following.
Okay.
So it doesn't go into the pool right now. It's based on 2021 stuff. At least it, last I checked it was. Maybe a change in the new CBA, but that's the way it had always been.
Right.
Diana Rossini is also saying that talks between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and free agent wide receiver Chris Godwin are ongoing. She was told they are getting there. They're still working. They are apparently racing to beat the clock on the 4 p.m. deadline to use the tag, because short of a deal, they are going to tag Godwin, it's presumed. So, and Godwin, you know, has a torn ACL that he's coming back from.
Right.
So interesting that they'll put the tag on him if they can't get a long-term deal done there. So things are happening around the league, at least for teams that are in a position to get some of their own people re-signed and spend some money now, a week before the market opens. So we'll see if there are any other headlines to report as we move forward. But let's go to the phones, and waiting for us there is Peter in Hamburg. What do you have for us, Peter? You're on One Bills Live.
Yeah, hi, guys. I was just calling. It's about that Denver trade. if I was Seattle, I would be looking for somebody other than Drew Lock.
Yeah.
I would be very disappointed in that trade. I think Denver won out on that deal.
Well, I mean, let's wait and see what they can make of the two first-round picks and the two second-round picks, right? I mean, if
there's a chance
they get another franchise quarterback in the draft, we'll all have to reassess.
Yeah, what do you do with Drew Lock with his cap, with his salary cap?
Who cares?
Well, he's on his rookie contract.
He's on his rookie contract.
He's not killing it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's young. And they get a top-10 pick back from Seattle or from Denver. So they're going to pick number 9 overall, which give and with the two twos coming back to him, ones.
I would look at another somebody because of that. I would look at somebody other than the quarterback from Denver, and they trade.
You would look
That's all I meant. That's
what you're
point.
Saying?
You wouldn't have traded for Drew Lock.
They're getting the quarterback.
Oh, you're wouldn't trade for Drew Lock then?
No.
Oh, I got you.
I would go with somebody else with Denver.
Yeah,
that's my point because they have the options. Because they draft low this year. They're going to draft a 9.
Right. So what?
Well, that's where you could fill the void.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so now see.
I wouldn't use Lock.
Yeah.
I would go with somebody else more valuable.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Lock's a placeholder.
Yeah, Lock's not going to play any downs for them. They did it so that they had a guy on their roster probably, but I think, and it's probably a safety net. I think I'm with you. I don't think Drew Lock's going to play quarterback for the Seahawks.
No.
And in that case, maybe you could say they should have traded for a different positional player, a better player, like a right guard or a tackle or a tight end or something. They got Noah Fant. So all of those things put in the mix. You're right. Drew Lock to me is a
placeholder.
Yeah,
he's a backup.
That's a paint job. You know, he's not.
He's a backup.
Yeah, he's not even a backup.
There is also reports that the Patriots and Dolphins would be two of the more interested teams in Amari Cooper if he is released by the Cowboys, which it seems as though it's headed in that direction as they try to get under the cap, Cooper being paid $20 million a year already. And as we heard Mike Jannetty say last segment when we had him on from SpotTrack.com, even though it was a 5-year, $100 million contract for Amari Cooper a couple of years ago, in essence, it was a 2-year, $40 million deal. And here we are after 2 years, and he's probably going to get thrown overboard. What do you think about Amari Cooper for either Mac Jones or Tua? He'll help.
Yeah, Amari Cooper will be as good as anybody the Patriots have.
Yep.
Certainly as good as anybody, or almost as good, or if not better, than anybody the Dolphins have. I mean, he'll go to the top of their depth chart, no question about it. Cooper played well for the Cowboys. I don't think, for some reason, and I guess, you know, it's the ownership, but the Cowboys seem to like players just arbitrarily. Amari Cooper is a good player for them and has some ability, but they're going to pay Zeke Elliott, $20 million. I get it. I mean, Amari made $20 million a year for 2 years. That's great money. I don't know why they don't like him.
Well, his consistency dropped off this past year. And if you compare his average yards per game this season, you know who the comp is for him? Corey Davis, the wide receiver for the Jets.
Yeah.
Their yardage production is comparable. That's not a $20 million receiver.
Yeah,
it's just
I get it. Neither Zeke. Zeke's not a $20 million player either, or whatever it is he's making.
Yeah, 17, 16, somewhere in there.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure the Patriots and the Colts, I mean, the Patriots and the Dolphins wouldn't be the only two teams interested in Amari Cooper.
Yeah, they're said to be very interested. They're looking to find, like, a true number one to add to their receiving core to help their young quarterbacks. We'll see. Maybe Amari Cooper is one of the newest additions in the AFC East. Back to the phones and to Jim in South Carolina. To the Palmetto State we go. What do you got for us, Jim? Jim, are you there? All right, Jim. Unfortunately, we can't connect with you. Apparently asleep at the wheel in the Palmetto State.
Go.
That's unfortunate.
It must be nice weather down there.
he was going to talk about Gronk a little bit. Which brings us back to the conversation we had, Steve, with Mike, and earlier in the show that I suggested, if you're this tight against the cap and you can't spend big free agent money on a receiver to add to the fold, the more affordable option is to go the tight end route and maybe get another one of them that costs less money. And Mike did point this out, and he's right. There is decent depth on the free agent market at tight end and in the draft. In fact, Brandon Bean said as much when we had him on the air last Tuesday. He said, because I asked him, the last question I asked him was, where do you see depth in this draft? At what positions? And he threw in tight end at the very end. He said, oh, tight end too has some good depth.
Yeah, here's why I shy away from that. Because the Bills have got a tight end, one, first of all.
Right.
Second of all, if you get two of them and you put them both on the field, all of a sudden you're slow. But
are you effective?
Well, that's it. Yeah, if you're effective, okay, I can live with that. But it's going to be an effectiveness that is, you know, I'm like everybody else. I want to see him go down the field. I think you got to stretch the field vertically. There's one less guy on the field that can do that for you when you go too tight, you know. And maybe teams will start going too tight end, zero running backs. And I've thought about this too with the emergence of Debo Samuel for the San Francisco 49ers and the way that Isaiah McKenzie is worked in by the Buffalo Bills and other players like that, Alvin Kamara being split out as a running back. Is there a trend, or will there be a trend going forward of putting athletes on the field that are wide receivers with Bills that, hey, I'm going to line him up and hand him the ball once in a while in the backfield? You talk about position versatility. Mm-hmm. Are guys like Debo Samuel going to become more and more common? Teams saying, you know what, Isaiah, McKenzie, say, for instance, we're going to line you up at tailback a lot. You're going to be in the backfield a lot. Once in a while, we'll hand it to you. We're not going to give it to you, do anything stupid, like give you on a dive play at the goal line. But it gives us the opportunity to get you on the field as a wideout and then put three other wideouts on the field, and they got to play you like a running back because we're going to hand it to you enough to do that. So I'm thinking positionless football that we've been talking about off and on for a couple of years may happen at a greater level, but at wide receiver, running back, rather than linebacker, safety kind of thing.
You're also under the assumption that McKenzie is re-signed by the Bills.
Isaiah McKenzie is just a name.
Yeah.
Just anybody. Debo Samuel, Isaiah McKenzie, Alvin Kamara, you name it. One of those, Christian McCaffrey, the way he's used in Carolina. All these guys that can play wide receiver and be there effectively with their speed also have the wherewithal to carry the ball out of the backfield once in a while.
We have to take a break here, but when we come back, we'll tell you the other NFC team that was hot and heavy after Russell Wilson, but obviously came up empty because the Seahawks did not want to trade him in conference. We'll tell you which team that was when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. So the other team that was hot and heavy after Russell Wilson, before he was officially traded to the Broncos today, were the Washington Commanders, Steve. They offered high picks in each of the next three drafts to the Seahawks for Russell Wilson. This is being reported by Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated. But it became apparent to the Commanders that Seattle preferred to trade him out of the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Which was also the issue and the sticking point with Aaron Rodgers. They did not want to trade him to a team in conference either if they were going to entertain that at all.
And this is, we'll never know about this, and maybe we will. You got to wonder the willingness Russ Wilson would have to waive his no trade contract to go to a Washington football team.
Ugh.
East Coast. I think they
probably
wanted
not waiving that.
He wanted to stay West. He did Denver's as good as they could do outside the conference on the West. No other West team in the AFC is going to do it because they all got their quarterback. But Denver's good, mountain time, and it's quick flight to L.A. Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And plus with the recent history of the Washington Commanders, you know, I might just live in Seattle, stay there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, Calvin Ridley got suspended for at least the 2022 season for betting. Do you know they have bets out on who the next NFL representative will be that places a bet?
Yeah.
You can bet on anything. This is out of control.
I'm plus 20,000 to 1 or something.
Yeah, Antonio Brown's the favorite at plus 350. We'll see you tomorrow at 1.